Full Service Radio.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. It's Melissa, and you are tuning in to the Edible Activist Podcast. Yep. This show highlights Black and Brown edible activists in the food and farming space. And no, not that kind of edible you're probably thinking about, but we're talking about food activism and stories that are bringing us back to the land. As the creator of Food Talks DC, I travel the DC area and beyond to document personal food journeys and perspectives from everyday people on topics related to health, tradition, environment, culture, and so much more. Every week, I will bring in a special guest to hear their personal food journey firsthand and learn how they are channeling edible activism in the DC area. We don't promote people, we tell stories and empower communities. So I kind of lied because today is a special show. I'm not really interviewing anybody today, but today's a special day. We're going to have fun on this show today. So I have the amazing, talented visual artist and photographer Lita Harrison with me today. Well, she's here with me every week.
Hi.
But I need 10 of her. But I'm excited because today on the show, we are going to talk about our most recent travels to Philly, as Eve would say. Philly is where I am from. Oh, that was like my favorite song. Okay, anyway, probably people don't get
the
it.
The Roots. Who else? Freeway.
Jilly yes. From Philly. Come on now. So Lita and I set out to Philadelphia back in October to continue our edible conversations with amazing, dope Black and Brown people in the food and farming space. And as some of you may recall, we were in Detroit. Shout out to Detroit back in September, which we're still latching on to.
Vibes.
To do the same thing, meet with a ton of like great people who are just doing amazing work in the land and just really... just doing what our ancestors did and learning about their narratives and learning about the food justice work that they're doing, the social work that they're doing, telling their stories, sharing their words, sharing their anecdotes, and just all the amazing things, our voices in this space. Mm-hmm. So we're very blessed because our Kickstarter back in June exceeded its goal. And so we were able to take the trip to Philadelphia, which was really special to me because it's actually one of my favorite cities. It really is. It's a dope city. I haven't been there in years. And I was happy to go back. So Philadelphia is a city of love, y'all. It's about an hour and a half, depending on how fast or slow you drive from the DC area. And we had a really great time meeting with a couple farmers. We even participated in a community action event while we were there. We marched in the streets of Philly with the residents of Philadelphia fighting for land. And it was energetic. It was amazing. It was emotional. And just, I was really reminded of the things that our ancestors, and I put this on a post yesterday before I started the series, that a lot of the things that we're still fighting for are the things that we're fighting for now, our ancestors fought for, and we're still fighting for them. And it's sad and disheartening because we're still having this battle over land. We're still having these racial divides. We're still having issues with food access. But you know what? The residents of Philadelphia all banded together during this action event that we're going to share a little bit with you guys about. And they said, you know what? Enough is enough. So
absolutely.
But anyway, Philly has a really great food scene, by the way, too. It's yes. like one of the best. It is.
Yeah.
San Francisco is too, but you know, Philadelphia, great mm-hmm. food scene. So, this is going to be very, very casual. This is actually going to be a short segment. It's not the usual, but we just want to share our love for Philly. Mm-hmm. We want to share like the people who we met. So I started a series a day or so ago, on Philly. It's going to be a very short series, and one of the first people who we both had an opportunity to meet was a young woman by the name of Janine, who is the co-founder and creator, co-CEO as well, of Urban Creators in Philadelphia. And it is a really dynamic and colorful, and I mean colorful, check yes. out the photos, like Lita, man. Capture that, man. A very colorful space that her and her partner have cultivated and grown over the last 10 years in North Philly, in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
In the hood.
Yes.
I mean, that place is graced by beautiful murals. Janine has a freaking studio there. One thing that really just kind of like struck out for me, and just some backstory, and check out her story on my page. Janine was damn near homeless when she started that farm. She is a spoken word enthusiast. She's traveled all over the country. And she's no stranger to a lot of the issues that young Black kids endure. Mm-hmm. And so her emphasis really, and their emphasis at this farm, is really on the youth and creating spaces where they can continue to create mm-hmm. and co-create. And whether that's through arts and whether that's through music, that's really what one of the main objectives there. And so, it was just really great to meet her and chat with her and learn a bit about her story, and just inspiring because, like I said, she was homeless pretty much when she started it. She's from LA, and so far they've raised about $800,000 for the farm, close to $1 million. And just, you talk about started from the bottom, now you're here.
Yeah, man. Incredible stuff.
Yeah. Like, it was like, and we, when we got to the farm, we were like, Wow. Like, people create some really dope spaces.
Let me just say this. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, when you are broke and you have absolutely nothing, I feel like that's when you're the most creative. Like, you,
you're trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents.
You really start from nothing, and you just, like, you find ways to make it.
You find a way.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not privileged, and I didn't grow up privileged, mm-hmm. and people can define that however they want to define it. Just right. know that I didn't. I don't care what you see. I'm telling right. you, it didn't. Melissa did not grow up with a silver spoon in her mouth. Right. I'm going to tell you that right now. But you are so right. Mm-hmm. When you are limited in resources, and if you have that grit mm-hmm. and you have that tenacity, you will find a way.
Yep, indeed.
And she did.
Indeed.
And she totally did. So I was just I'm always honored to be in those spaces mm-hmm. and to hear those stories. And the other thing that, and you know, actually, let me back up. Just a lot of people know about Philly. Philly is an urban city that can be compared to many other urban cities across the country. A city that is still plagued by poverty, a city that is still plagued by the injustices of the world, a city that is still being taken over by big developers, which is one of the reasons why a lot of folks are fighting for land there. And it's like, what I've learned, and actually knew this already, is that it's still like one of the poorest, biggest cities. And I remember living in Philly eons ago. I stayed there for a summer I was doing an internship, and my best friends went to Temple. So I'm definitely familiar with the city, and just remember seeing so many folks without shelter, so yeah. many homeless people there. And even when we were there recently, yeah, it was just like nothing that. Had changed. Mm-hmm. So it just amazes me that with cities like these that have so much potential, and it's a great city, that these issues still exist. Mm-hmm. So for Janine and her crew to create this space, literally in the hood. And when I say in the hood,
it was in the hood, yeah.
It, and you know, created for youth especially, mm-hmm. it's just really amazing because mm-hmm. it's another outlet for them. Mm-hmm. And it allows them to, you know, even when I was talking to Janine, you know, like I said, she's very familiar of the issues that a lot of young Black kids grew up with. And she would, like, the farm was healing for her. She would go, she would take her aggression out there, you know, but also at the same time, she was eating from the land, yeah. growing on the land, building a relationship with the land. And this all started, actually, her and her partner, I think our partner's teacher had moved to, went down to New Orleans, mm-hmm. and they were helping out with the Hurricane Katrina relief efforts. And so they needed a ton of other people to go down there. And so Janine went down there and she saw the racial divide. You see this one levee that's holding back all this water, and you go to another, you go to the French Quarter and you see this big ass levee.
Yeah.
And she's like, really?
Like, what's happening here?
What's happening here? You go to the poorest community in New Orleans and you're like, what the hell? And then everybody in the French Quarter, they're fine. Mm-hmm. Seventh Ward, whatever. I'm not familiar with the wards, but mm-hmm. she saw the racial divide. And when she came back to Philadelphia, she was like, there's no difference. We may not be suffering from like hurricanes, but our transportation system is jacked up. Mm-hmm. Our food system is jacked up. Our school system is jacked up. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And they want to change. So that was kind of part of the catalyst of why they started Urban Creators. Mm-hmm. So Janine says when people ask them, what do they grow? She says they grow people.
That's dope. And even just looking back on the interviews, I think what I really appreciate about her insight in how she wants to support the youth is like she doesn't want to give them stipulations like a curfew. Yes. And all of these other things. Like the farm is not just the farm. It's an all-inclusive place where these young people can come and like decompress, be creative, and you know, just really have a home to come to, because a lot of them, they don't have that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I really appreciate most about her.
Yeah. For those who are just tuning in, chiming in a little bit late, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Edible Activist Podcast. This is Melissa. I am broadcasting here live at the Line Hotel on Full Service Radio. I have Lita Harrison with me, the oh-so-talented visual artist and photographer. A lot of the photos that you see on my platform are Lita's, and she really captures some amazing, amazing things.
Thank you.
I give people permission to share our story. Share our photos. The only thing, just don't alter those photos.
Please.
Don't alter those photos. Don't throw no
Instagram filter.
Don't. You better put no filter on them photos. But I really do encourage you to share the stories, repost, send them to whomever you would think would be interested in hearing these stories. And again, my platform is really, they're narratives, but they're narratives that bring us back to the land. So I really enjoy sharing these stories, sharing these perspectives, sharing our voices, because our ancestors built this country on their back.
Absolutely.
And actually one of the things, and so I'm sharing, currently we're talking about our most recent trip to Philadelphia in pursuit of our Edible Activist campaign and meeting with some really dope folks who are in the food and farming scene in Philly. And so, so welcome. The other thing, and to touch on agriculture a bit more, one of the things that Janine said also is that, and we know this, Lita, that agriculture is traumatic for Black people.
Mm-hmm. You know, we keep hearing this consistently throughout. Have. I'd say about 75% of the people that we've had in here or just come across in general, that there is a lot of trauma associated with agriculture. So,
yeah. I'm really hoping that this platform helps to reverse that.
Mm-hmm. Or at least identify it and say, hey, you know what? Yeah, maybe that's something I need to look into. Because, you know, while I am not a farmer, I have minimal gardening experience,
yeah.
Okay? Anytime
I We're not judging.
Right. I'm working.
I'm working on it,
okay? Anytime I set foot out in nature or in these garden spaces, there is a unspoken healing that I experience. And
yes.
I can't speak for everybody else, but
it just makes me want to keep coming back and learning more and getting more of that support.
Absolutely.
From the land.
But you know what? And I remember posing this question to Ross.
That guy. Him and his New Jersey driving boy. Oh my God.
So moving on from Janita and Urban Creators, and check out Janita Urban Creators and her whole crew, y'all, in Philly. And actually, you can find them on Airbnb. That's how I came across Janine, although we know a ton of people here who know Janine personally. Mm-hmm. But you can definitely indulge in an experience on Airbnb, and that's what's up. Support her, support what she's doing, support her operations. Her story is amazing. Check out Food Talks DC. I posted about 5 or 6 photos from our farm and of Janine. Her story is really compelling. And there's so much more to her story. You know, we just capture bits and pieces of it, but just to be in her space and hear these words are just phenomenal, phenomenal. But Ross. So now we're going to move on to Ross. Yeah,
AKA New Jersey driver.
So Ross is another farmer, and he's actually a farmer in Jersey, but he does some work in Philly. And I like how we do these. So we met Ross at like this Jamaican bakery.
Okay. So anybody who knows anything about ordering Caribbean food, it's facts. They like had nothing on the menu that we wanted.
Nothing. Can you please tell them what we, everything we asked for? Wait, and she was like, we don't have that. We asked for roti. We wanted that shrimp roti, wasn't it? Because Janine talked it up so much.
And we were just like, we were dead set on getting it. And they were like, it's not going to be ready for, it's not going to be ready for another 20 minutes or something, they said. And then we tried to get something else and they weren't making it that day. It was just like classic. Okay.
I know. But that okra was really good, though.
That okra was bomb.
I don't know if it was fresh or not. Whatever. It was good. Whatever.
It was really, really good.
So Ross is, I don't remember why I was segueing into Ross. I don't remember. I lost my point, but we're going to start talking about Ross now.
Yeah.
Ross Micah, is that how you pronounce his last name? I think so. I believe so. So he is a brother originally from Connecticut, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives in New Jersey with him and his lovely family.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually made the connection through Xavier. Shout out to Xavier, who is like the connector of all connectors.
Yeah.
And so Lita and I, when I tell you like our adventures are like really Lita and I have some stories for real, okay? We're actually working on a site where we're going to put like some back footage and stuff. We got some stories how we connect with people. Lita's over there shaking her head. We've been in some crazy safe situations, let me just say.
Very
but just
safe.
Some very
You know, we're always, I'll say this, we are always safe. We are always protected.
Yes, always in good hands.
Always Folks in look good out hands. For us. It's just...
Yeah. It's probably just not ideal. You'd be like, oh, my parents would be thrilled.
Yeah, they'd be like, what are you doing?
But Ross is another brother who we had the privilege of connecting with. And I'll be sharing his story this week, tomorrow. So look out for that. Him and his wife, his AKA queen, as he calls her, they are the owners and creators of Free Haven Farms. And so we met up with Ross at the bakery that had nothing that we wanted on the menu, but we still ate very well. And he scooped us, we had lunch, and he took us on over to Jersey, and we're just glad we made it.
And we made it there in like 5 minutes.
Holding on. We're like, all right. I trust you, Ross. I don't know you, but I trust you.
Yeah. No, and I totally got that vibe from him. It's like, I don't know you at all, but I really, really trust. I trust you. I trust your spirit. And like his energy, like he was so passionate and just so energized about what he was doing. And I mean, rightfully so, he's doing wonderful things with his farm and in his community. So big shout out to him.
Big shout out to him. So we visited his farm he's in Lawnside, New Jersey.
Lawnside, yeah.
But it also used to be, because I want to hit people with a little bit of history that he shared with me. I think before Lawnside, wasn't it called Free Haven or something like that?
I think so.
Something. I could be jacking up this story, like charge my head, not my heart, guys. But
yes.
The township that he lives in is like the only black township in New Jersey.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he told us that. Yeah. And which is right. And anybody who's familiar with Jersey should be like, Lita just hit me with the head tilt. And that's very appropriate because Jersey is pretty much all white.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and there are a lot, what I will say, there are a lot of white town. Like Jersey is filled with townships and a lot of rich townships.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of history. Like we know, okay, Newark and stuff, you know, there's a black population. And I'm not familiar with the whole city of Jersey, just a little bit. But he said that township was historically black. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of history there. And that's why you see a lot of black people where he lives. And there are only about 2,000 people. He was like, so everybody knows everybody. He said if his kids act up in school, he knows about it like the next minute.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what because I'm talking about.
Because the Underground Railroad like ran through that township. So there was a lot of there's a lot of history. So again, charge my head, not my heart, y'all. I'm not a historian. Mm-hmm. I'm just sharing what I don't know everything.
Sharing the story.
I'm sharing the story, okay? Sharing the story. But Ross is amazing. So they essentially, they homestead.
Mm-hmm.
We've been bringing up homestead a lot. I love it. Essentially, they homestead. They have this beautiful house in Lawnside in this beautiful farm.
Oh, my God. Immaculate. And just the, like, innovation with everyday items, like the whole bottle irrigation system. Oh, my God. Wait till y'all see the photos.
Wait till you see the photos and the videos.
Just incredible.
So excited. But Ross touched on a few things that I want to talk about. We're going to take a quick break, but he brought up some very interesting points.
He did.
And we had some very deep discussions in our car ride to Lawnside. Mm-hmm. And that's why we connect with people so well.
Yes, we do.
It's like I legit consider him like a brother.
Yeah.
Like I really do. His spirit is awesome. And one day I just hope to really create some experiences for other people to experience, people like Ross and Janine. So maybe create some itineraries.
Well, you are. This platform right here.
But I want other people to experience this though.
True.
But it's about the energy and connecting too. You gotta wanna be able to do this.
Yeah.
But I definitely wanna touch on some of the points that Ross and us discussed in our car ride to Jersey when he was going to show us his farm. So we're going to take a quick break, and Melissa here with the Edible Activist Podcast will be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Perfect Day, produced by Artists Authentic. For more of Authentic's work, visit allornothingstudios.com. Melissa here with the Edible Activist Podcast, broadcasting live at the Lion Hotel here on Full Service Radio. I'm here with the talented visual artist and photographer Lita, my pal, who is like dope and amazing, and she captures pretty much all of our experiences for Food Talk. So check out her work at Lark, LARKE.com. PIX on Instagram. Check out her work. And as I stated in the show earlier, so right now we're talking about our most recent trip to Philadelphia. We met with some really awesome black and brown folks in the food and agricultural space there, documenting some narratives and some community organizing that they have going on. So I just started sharing this series a day or so ago. Feel free to share. Sharing is caring. Share these stories, get the word out. You know, I created this space for us and our voices and our narratives because we are ancestors.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this, like I said before earlier in the show, our ancestors built this country on their backs, and we are from the land. So all of my stories, regardless of what they are, all of my interviews, whether you're a chef, whether you're an entrepreneur, in some way we connect back to the land that our ancestors cultivated. And so just paying that respect, but also bringing some very forward-thinking and progressive conversations in this space, and just continuing to highlight our voices, because our voices matter. And
yes,
this, it's really important for me to create a space for us. So
share
the work. Do not alter the work.
Please.
Because as Erica Badu says,
I'm an artist and I'm very sensitive about my shit. Okay.
I didn't even have to pass the baton. Pow. You can share it, but don't alter it.
Please.
And if you need further, like, do not throw a filter on the photo, okay?
God,
it ain't yours. Do not do it.
Even if you repost, like, don't change the wording.
No.
Don't do any of that. Just leave it as it is. Appreciate it for what it is. Because guess what? We appreciate that you're sharing it.
Absolutely. So. We got to respect the artists, man.
Respect each other.
We got to do that. So we were just talking about our friend Ross, who's out in Jersey. We met up with him at a Jamaican cafe in Philly, and we went over to Jersey to go see his farm. He's dope. I was introduced to him through one of our homeboys here in DC, Xavier, Brown of Soulful City, got to shout him out. And so we had a very interesting conversation, one that is definitely familiar that I feel like we talk about all the time, Lita. We talk about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so him and his lovely wife, aka Queen, and his family, they pretty much homestead out in Jersey, and it's called Free Haven Farms. So they run a CSA. They used to do farmers markets, but as with any farmer doing a farmer's market, it can be a struggle. You don't make that much money. One week he said he would see 40 people. The next week he may see 15 people, and then you're left with all this produce, and it's just like a waste, you know? So this year, or the last year, they decided to do something different and start the CSA. And he has a very interesting story, too, that I'm actually going to share on Thursday. And he just, you know, he also comes from a very... He's seen a lot of things from a religious standpoint and a spiritual standpoint growing up in a home, especially with a mom who is a devout Christian, I believe. And so his experiences growing up in the hood just like really shaped him. He also lived in Atlanta for a while. His wife is a professor. She's a smart.com, whatever you want to call it. But they just really, truly believe in living like, the way of living is the land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are the land, and that's just their lifestyle. That's what they believe in. And we were in the car, and he was talking about his CSAs, and he said, you know what? He was like, yo, Melissa, he's like, I'm going to tell you. He was like, my CSAs, he's like, you know, the majority of the people who support my CSAs. And before he even said the answer, I knew what he was going to say.
Absolutely.
I knew what he was going to say. He was like, the majority of the folks who support his CSA are white. He said it rocks his brain and he cannot understand why black people do not support his CSA.
Or just each other.
Or each other. Matter. And then that's where the conversation
went. Then we were just like, oh.
And... like I said, we have these conversations all the time, and I see these, I witness this in just different capacities, whether it comes, whether it's from an entrepreneurial standpoint, which we were, Lita and I were having a conversation right before this podcast started, and seeing that how, you know, certain populations can band together. And I'm not saying that we don't support each other, but there are just certain areas where it's more prevalent. And he said that's something that he's just working on and trying to work on. And I don't really know. Sometimes I feel like I know what the answer is, but I really don't know what the answer is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if there isn't a time, then now for us to band together, like it really is now. And for us to like truly support each other. And I told Lita before we started this podcast, I said, you know, and I'm very transparent. I'm going to let y'all know. Y'all know what you see online is what you get in person.
What you get in person.
I am not the one. I am who you see online is who you see in person. And I say this all the time. My platform is meant for those who want to be engaged in my platform. Mm-hmm. It ain't for everybody. I don't care if you're white, black, cement, what, it's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody.
It will grow in time, and who is meant to be, like, it's meant to be. And that's just, it just is what it is. But I lost my damn thought because I was preaching.
You was preaching, girl.
But I was saying, what I was saying to Lita before was, what was I saying, Lita?
You were basically talking about how Black people just need to support each other. It doesn't matter what you are doing. As long as you are in support of Black people in general, why not get the support from your own people?
Absolutely. That's what I was saying. You know? So I said, if I had 10 Litas on my team, this empire would have been built.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying just 10 people in general. Let me be clear. Let me be very clear. Right. Because those who know me know how I feel about my work. And I don't care. 5 followers, 2 followers, 3, 1,000.
It's not about the following.
It's not about
it,
that.
It really is not about the following.
For me, I'm a process person. I'm process driven. I'm project management driven.
Yeah.
I had a business before I started this. So all this is spilling into this, okay? Nobody sees the back work of this. When I say 10 Litas, I mean people who, 10 folks who are engaged, fully support the mission, creative. You know, they really believe not even just this lifestyle, but just like the principles and the beliefs of all of this, and a supporter. So that's what I mean. I don't mean 10 people.
Right.
I mean 10 Litas. Obviously, like, I need 10 different like versions of you. But, right. You know.
No, I know and exactly again, what like, you mean.
That that because I meant that, you know, and I said if I had 10,000 or even 5,000 Litas who were just engaged followers or just really support this platform, we can build an empire.
Right.
I don't care who sends me a DM and goes against the grain of what I said. I don't know that I said anything wrong, but because I get some crazy who people cares? From time to time who send me DMs, like, whatever.
Really?
It's a little weird.
It does go weird. Down in the DM.
It goes down in DM. Some people I just block. Exactly. I'm like, ignore.
Exactly.
But, and again, let me be clear again. I'm not saying that we don't support each other. I don't see it enough of it.
Right. Right.
And so to sit in the car and listen to Ross say that, I'm sure I could have the same conversation with other brothers and sisters and it'd be the same conversation, the
and
same
like,
perception.
What does it take, though? It's like, what does it take for us to support each other, like genuinely support each other? I know that I have a few people that I can count on one hand, Melissa being included in that, is that I know that they support what I'm doing. And it's like, well, how come I don't have, you know, how come both of my hands aren't full? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And like I know that I'm not for everybody and I'm totally fine with that. But I know that, you know, as a mother, as a woman, that I need support. Like I need support. Melissa needs support, you know, and we are people of color, you know. And we don't see enough of the support that we actually need. It, you know, it's emotional, it's financial, it's, you know, all of that. And sometimes I hate to say this, but sometimes I feel like if there wasn't some type of, you know, more pop culture involved in it, then people aren't inclined to like necessarily support it. And I am a believer in not selling yourself out for the masses, because that's not what this work is about. You know what I mean?
I told Lita, I said, if you were looking for the shiny, pretty avocado on my platform, or the pretty lettuce leaf or the pretty radish, this ain't for you. Because that's not what I share.
Yep, same here.
And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm still developing my craft because this is new to me.
Yeah.
Tell people all the time, I don't know what I'm doing. I make this stuff up day by day. I don't care what y'all think. I make it up. Same. You know?
Yeah.
And so, again, it's going to be for some people and it's not. Yeah. But the conversation was just so resonating. And Ross is just so passionate. Man. And it's so internal, and he's so for our people and building our communities. And if we could just lift up our arms and our muscles to support our communities, like, we can do so much together, because we're builders by nature.
You know, just going like very surface level, there are things that are put in place to keep Black people separated. And if we
come on now,
continue
preach
at the rate that we're going, it's going to get even worse. You know, we see what's happening and we know it's there. But what are we actually doing about it? Like, are you supporting your Black farmers? Are you supporting your podcasters? Are you supporting your Black artists? Like, what are you doing to support your community? You know, even if it's just one person that you just really believe in, what are you doing? What are you doing to support that community?
Absolutely. That is so important.
Mm-hmm.
So I resonate with you, brother. I do. So stay tuned for that story and that, you know,
looking forward to it.
To his photos and his farm. You're also going to see me like go bananas over okra.
Oh my God. Okay. So I'm going to interject here and say, shout out to Bo and all the family there. Their okra is bomb.
Yes.
But Ross, your okra is on point.
And that was the start of our farm tour, and I could have just stayed there the whole time. I don't need to see anything else, Ross. Thank you. The okra is enough.
Let me tell y'all something. When you can eat okra raw,
you know
it is
real.
Good shit. Yep. Okay. Like,
touche. Anyway. But he's doing some really great things out there. He's been working with the youth. You know, he's had some overnight stays outside. He's about the land of survival. He's teaching our kids, like, hell, somebody needs to teach me. I'm bringing everybody else in. They need to leave me with a packet of instructions or something, guys. Something, build something. But he works with the youth. Teaches them survival skills. Like, he had like a group of young girls and young boys, and they all slept outside in tents, learned how to build tents, learn how to cook food on an open fire, learn how to make a fire with supervision, not by themselves, guys.
He creates a very safe space.
He creates a very safe space, and his farm is so beautiful and immaculate and orchestrated. And I can't wait to share. And he has a well.
Yes. Oh my God.
Those are coming out.
So I have to say this about his farm. He did all this himself. He did all this himself. With the help of his queen. Yes. Like, she organized everything, but he built all of this stuff himself.
Y'all gotta check this out.
You know what?
That's my brother. I love her. He actually just texted me. He didn't even know we're talking about.
Really? No way.
He
doesn't know that.
No, I should. Yeah. He actually listened to a couple shows. He was like, yeah, sis, I just rated your show. Comment. Like, he's amazing. Support. That's what we're talking about. Support.
Yes. Brother,
like, send me the link to the podcast. I want to listen. Like, support. Like, and y'all, he has this hot sauce that he makes. Anyway,
Bomb.
You'll see. It's so good. I bought a chocolate.
Oh,
hot
did you try
sauce.
It?
Yeah, I tried it. It's amazing.
Oh my God. The one I have is really good. It's not as hot as I thought it would be, but it's just right.
It's just right.
Yes.
So he's doing amazing. And that's the other thing. Like, we just don't show up at these places and like take it. Like, we buy these products. Like, if you're selling something, you know, most times we're like, I want to support, I want to buy, you know. And I left Detroit, like, I left with Honey, we left with Honey, yeah, and all this other stuff. It's really about supporting them, yeah, you know. I'm not just, we're not just here to take, like,
it's,
I want,
like,
to
an exchange
you
of energy, because they give us stuff,
they
too
do, they, and I feel bad. I'm like, I will pay you for this, yeah, even when we go to Bow and Wallace, like, I both like, take, no, I'm paying, no, you for this,
like, give, let me give you some loot. Yeah.
So yeah, so look out for that. We're about to wrap up here in a few minutes, guys. And sorry, I don't know if anybody just chimed in, but this is Melissa with the Edible Activist Podcast. I'm chatting here live at the Line Hotel here on Full Service Radio. We're just chatting about our most recent experience in Philadelphia and meeting with some of the amazing Black and Brown folks in the food and ag space who are doing wonderful things in a city that's really just still experiencing a lot of injustice. Yeah. When it comes to land and then other things, their school system, just everything. Yeah. If you guys have gone to Philly, you know the issues are right there. So I think it's actually so perfect to conclude this note, our podcast, on just briefly mentioning the action event that we were part of.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
Yes.
I don't even know how to explain this.
It was something that we totally did not plan for. We found out
the day before,
by Janine, right?
Yes. Yeah, Janine told us. Yeah.
Janine told us about it. And actually, when I was taking photos, I heard this woman say, you know, she was asking what was going on. And I heard her say, well, I can't be on camera because I have four kids and this is the place that I work at and the place that they were protesting. It's the public transportation system. And I was just in my mind, I was just like,
wow,
exactly.
So
I took her picture anyway. She just doesn't know.
Yeah, we're just not gonna post it,
right?
We got you, girl, we got you covered. So shout out to Trina Baxter, who is one, is pretty much the creator and organizer of Soil Generation based in Philadelphia. Trina does a lot. I mean, did she go to school in DC? I want to say she did. I know she lived here. She knows a lot of folks here. We saw her at Xavier's pepper launch party. But they organized this awesome event. So right now, just very briefly, there's a lot of land. So Philadelphia has a land bank. And for those who aren't familiar with a land bank, pretty much, like, they create this land bank where the city has all this land in a bank where supposedly, and when I say supposedly, I'm like putting up quotes right now, where it's supposed to create a process for residents, nonprofits, I don't know exactly, to be able to acquire land through this land bank at a reasonable price or whatever. So the issue with the land bank is that there are a number of issues. There's a tax abatement issue in Philadelphia itself, where people can, like, come in, buy a house, not pay taxes, whatever, just because they're trying to bring more people into the city. Mm-hmm. You know, Philadelphia has always been, so there's a lot of developing going on in Philadelphia, mm-hmm, as DC. Mm-hmm. And so there's the tax abatement issue, which could definitely be used to fund the land bank. But one of the major issues is that some of the gardens that some of the residents have created and cultivated, have weeded, is being taken from them, yeah, and being sent to the land bank. And so one of the stories that I'm actually really excited to share is about this lady who started a plot somewhere on Girard Avenue in Philadelphia. And they took it over. The community residents joined in, created this wonderful garden. And now she learned that her garden is now in the land bank. She's like, hold up. Y'all didn't care about this land when it was blighted, when it was trashed. But now that it's like developer ready, or it's now pretty to the eyes of a developer who can come in and snatch it up and build $1 million home, now you want my land. So that's one of the issues. The other issue is that they aren't getting answers as into how the land bank process is being prioritized. So now it seems as if only big developers have access to the land bank.
Of course, it's money.
It's
and
all
this is
about
why
money.
Black people need to support Black people.
It's all about
because money. Because this is all money.
It's all money.
All money.
This, and we were at the march, so we marched.
We sure did.
We were like in Philadelphia downtown marching for answers. Mm-hmm. Everybody had signs. We were like saying all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. We were marching. I'm not from Philly, but we were there. Yeah. We were there. And it was awesome. And they want answers. Of course. I was reminded, I put this in my post, in my very first post to kick off the series, that I was in my very first post of the series, that by a brother who reminded all of us that we are still fighting for the same thing that our ancestors fought for, land, till this day.
Yeah. This is a consistent story, y'all. If y'all been listening to the podcast and watching the stories, this is consistent. So
it's so consistent. But we had a great time.
We did.
Lita caught some amazing visuals there. I did. Can't wait to share them. We got a band together.
Yeah, man.
And you know what? In the protest and the march was filled with a lot of people. You know,
and it was peaceful.
It was peaceful. Yeah. It was black people, brown people, white people. It was everybody.
It was everybody in solidarity.
In solidarity.
Yeah.
But we are still fighting for what our ancestors fought for, land. And that is alarming. It's not shocking, you know, but it's just like, damn, when you're reminded, it's like, really?
It's like, just imagine you buying this beautiful house, right? And with beautiful land that you work so hard. You go to college, you do all this stuff, you make all the sacrifices. And then imagine somebody knocking on your door saying, "We're taking your land away from you." And you're like, "Well, why?" That's exactly what these people are experiencing. Absolutely.
And what our ancestors have experienced. And what our great-great-grandfathers have experienced. I could not imagine. I heard a recent story, and I was in Mississippi. A wonderful one, which I can't wait to get to Mississippi and share the story. But anyway, guys, our time is up. It's been up. But we hope you guys tune in to the Philadelphia series. Again, absolutely. It's very short, but we're hoping to go back and do some more work there. But being there those 2.5 days was just really enlightening. And I'm with my brothers and sisters up there. So y'all keep fighting.
Yeah. Peace and much love.
All right, guys. Thank you all to everyone for tuning in. We're here live on Full Service Radio every Wednesday at 11 a.m. You can access each episode after it airs at fullserviceradio.org. Be sure to follow me at Food Talks DC on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Are you an edible activist? If so, come join me on this show. I would love to feature you. Just send me a DM on Instagram, or you can email me at melissa@goodsoulevents.com. Thank you and have a wonderful day.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO. On Instagram and Facebook @Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.